Well, hello everybody. So good to have you with us for Live with Lon. And we have another wonderful passage today in the Gospels. You're going to love it. And we're going to take it apart, put it together, talk about what it means for us. Let's pray and we're going to get into the Word. Heavenly Father, thank you for an opportunity to open the Word of God today. Use it in a mighty way in our lives. And Lord, I pray it would encourage us and bring us hope in these tough times. Father, we pray against this virus, and we ask you in the name of Jesus to help us quickly develop a vaccine and a treatment so that in your mercy, Lord, we can get back to life as we used to know it. Lord, watch over and protect those who are particularly vulnerable to this virus, and be merciful to us and our families, and be merciful to the human race, even though we don't deserve it, Lord, but be merciful to us. We beseech thee. Now we commit our time in the Word of God to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. Well, we've been moving through the Gospels, as you know, and it's interesting how the Gospels have been organized up to this point. There is a method to that organization, because up to this point, we have seen Jesus exercise his power. First of all, his power over sickness. He healed Peter's mother-in-law of a fever. Then his power over chronic disease. He healed a leper. Then his power over the devil himself when he faced off with him at the temptation of Christ. And then he healed a legion of the demons that were in him, showing his power over the demons. And then he told the waves and the winds on the Sea of Galilee to hush up. And he demonstrated his power over the forces of nature. And finally, he demonstrated his power over death by raising the son of the widow of Nain. We've talked about all of these. So here, all of this has been displayed. But today, we're going to see Jesus exercise his authority over the aegis, over the cause of all of these things, which is sin itself. Remember, without sin, there'd be no sickness. Without sin, there'd be no disease. Without sin in his heart, there would be no devil. Without sin, the forces of nature would not be contrary to us. And the lion would lie down with the lamb. Without sin, there would be no death. So sin is at the heart of all of this. It's the cause of all of this. That's why the creation groans under the curse that God put on it when Adam and Eve sinned. And so today, Jesus shows us that he has power over the cause of all of this, sin itself. Wonderful. Okay, today we are, of course, we're using the New King James Bible, and today we're in Luke chapter 5. And so I want to begin reading to you Luke chapter 5, beginning at verse 17. So get your Bible, and here we go. Are you ready? Verse 17. And it happened on a certain day, as he, Jesus, was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law, big rabbis sitting by, who had come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal people. And so, behold, there was a huge crowd, Matthew's gospel and Mark's gospel tells us, that gathered, kind of like Mass in St. Peter's Square. And behold, verse 18, men brought on a bed, on a stretcher, a man who was paralyzed. And they sought means to bring him in and lay him before Jesus. But when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down through the tiling on the roof with his bed into the midst before Jesus. Wow. So here's the picture. Jesus is in this house. He's healing people. There's a massive crowd outside and around the house. And these guys are carrying a paralyzed man on a stretcher, and they can't get through. There's four of them, one on each of the four corners of the stretcher. And you can just see the picture, you know, excuse me, excuse me, excuse me, excuse me. And people turn around looking at them like, what is wrong with you? What? No, excuse me, excuse me. So when they couldn't do that and get to Jesus, they came up with this very ingenious solution. They went up on the roof. And in those days, the rooftops were flat. And people would often sit on the rooftop in the cool of the evening and even store things up there. And I've got a picture of what a rooftop would have looked like in those days that I want to show you. You can see there's straw over top of wood beams. And then on the top of that, which you don't see, there would be plaster or some kind of waterproofing, but most likely plaster or tiles by the time of Jesus, tiles, ceramic tiles, that were used to keep the water out. So this is the roof they go up on, and they start chiseling away right, you know, they figure out right where Jesus is, and right on top, right in front of him, they start chiseling away. Can you imagine? Jesus is down in the house teaching, and all of a sudden the roof starts falling. Pieces of the roof start falling in. And before long, nobody's paying attention. Jesus stops teaching, and everybody looks up and just stares as this hole gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and eventually gets big enough for you to lower a full-grown man on a stretcher down through the roof. That's a big hole in the roof. And when the thing is all over, here is this paralyzed man lying right in front of the feet of Jesus, his four buddies up on the roof looking in the hole to see what happens, and everybody else standing around going, wow. Well, what happens? Let's pick up the story. And when Jesus saw their faith, hey, by the way, it wasn't very difficult to see their faith, was it? They dug a hole in the roof. Of course he could see their faith. He said to the man on the stretcher, man, your sins are forgiven you. And the rabbis, the scribes and the Pharisees who were there, began to reason, began to think, saying, who is this who blasphemes? Now watch the question. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Now, is that right or wrong? Well, of course, that's correct. I mean, the rabbis didn't get a lot correct, but they got this correct. Of course, nobody can forgive sins but God alone. And that's the whole point, is that Jesus is the second person of the Godhead, wrapped in human flesh, and has the authority to therefore forgive sins. That's the whole point. So, Jesus, the Bible says, perceived their thoughts and answered and said to them, why are you reasoning this way in your hearts? Which is easier to say? Okay, so here's a question now. I want you to think about the answer. Which is easier to say? Your sins are forgiven you, or to say, rise up and walk? Okay, folks, let's think about that. Which is easier to say? Well, a lot of people might say, wow, it's much harder to say your sins are forgiven you. Well, wait a minute now. Wait a minute. If I walk out in the church lobby and I walk up to you and I say to you, your sins are forgiven you, you say, wow, that's great. That's nice. But friends, you have no way to check it out and know whether or not I'm telling you the truth. You don't know if your sins are really forgiven or not. You'll never know that till you die and try to go to heaven. There's no way to certify whether or not that's true. But if I walk out to a person in my lobby of the church and they're lying paralyzed on a stretcher, and I say to you, pick up your stretcher, rise up, get up, and walk out of here, well, you're going to know in about 3 seconds whether or not I can do that. That person's either going to get up and walk out of there, or they're going to stay on that stretcher staring up at me like I lost my cotton pick and mine, right? Which is harder to say? Well, it's much harder to say pick up your stretcher and walk, because people can check you out. Either you're going to pick up your stretcher or not. And so it's much harder to say that, because it can be corroborated right away. Are you with me? Okay, so Jesus has already said to this man, your sins are forgiven you. But watch what he does now. Verse 24, but that you may know, gosh, I love this, that the Son of Man, meaning Jesus himself, has power on earth to forgive sins. He said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. You see what Jesus is doing here? He says to these rabbis, okay, if saying to the man, pick up your stretcher is harder, then I'm going to prove to you I can do the easier one, because I'm going to do the harder one. If I can heal him and have him pick up his stretcher and walk, then I can do the easier thing, which is forgive his sins. I can either do both or neither. You follow what Jesus is saying here? And to show you I can do both, that I can heal him and I can forgive his sins, he says to the man, take up your stretcher and walk. Now look, and immediately, I love that. Man, just like that, when Jesus heals you, Jesus heals you, right? Immediately, he rose up. No atrophy, no weak muscles. Who knows how long he'd been on this stretcher? But immediately, his ankles, his legs were all strengthened. He stood up and took up what he had been lying on, picked up his stretcher. He didn't get up and kind of toddle around a little bit, getting used to being on his feet. No, this was a complete healing. He got up, picked up his stretcher, look at this, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. I love what my friend John MacArthur once said. He said, that man might have had trouble getting an aisle to come into the house. He said, but I don't think he had trouble getting an aisle to walk out of the house. Everybody backed up and said, whoa, let him go. I thought it was hysterical, yeah, but okay. Anyway, last verse, and they were all amazed. Well, I guess so. And they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. What a wonderful passage of Scripture. What an amazing passage of Scripture. So that you might know that I have the authority to forgive sin on earth, Jesus said. That's why I'm going to heal this man. I have that authority. Not the authority just to cast out demons and oppose Satan and bring dead people back from death to life and cast demons out and heal disease. I have the authority to forgive sin. And folks, this is the dominant characteristic message of Jesus throughout his whole ministry, and the message of the entire New Testament, that Jesus has this authority. I mean, if I were to ask you, what is the defining message of Gandhi, you would say that it is that peaceful opposition to injustice will eventually win the day, right? If I were to ask you what is the dominant message of Martin Luther King Jr., you would say it's that there should be equality regardless of race or color. And if I were to ask you what is the dominant message of the Bible and the Lord Jesus Christ, it is that Jesus has the authority to forgive our sins. Now, that leads us to our most important question. And I want you to get ready to ask this now. Are you ready? Come on, you know what this is. Here we go now. Come on. One, two, three. So what? Yes, yes. Oh, baby, how sweet it is. Yes, yes, yes. You say, all right, Lon, this is a wonderful passage, but like, what difference does it really make to me? My friends, are we kidding? Are we serious? The authority to forgive sins? Hey, before we go too far here, let's stop for a moment and define sin. Okay? Sin, to put it very simply, is anything that is the opposite of what God is. God is holy. God is without sin. Therefore, anything that is not what God is sin. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay. God is pure when he looks at people. He doesn't look at them sexually or lustfully. But therefore, anything that's not pure when we look at people is sin. God is truth. Therefore, anything we say or do or think that is not truth is sin. God is holy and pure. Therefore, anything we do that is not holy and pure is sin. Plotting against people, scheming against people is sin. God is loving and kind. Therefore, anything we do that is unloving and unkind to people is sin. God is selfless in his love for the human race. Therefore, anything we do that is selfish is sin. And we could keep going. You know, God is merciful. Therefore, anything we do that is unmerciful is sin. God is forgiving. Therefore, any unforgiveness that we have for other people is sin. God is a God of kindness. Therefore, anything we do that is unkind and harsh to people is sin. And on and on. God is content with what he has. You say, well, yeah, he's got everything. I know. But anything we do that is griping and complaining and discontent is sin. You say, well, Lon, if that's really what sin is, whew, then I'm loaded with sin. Of course you are. That's what the Bible's been trying to tell you from the beginning. I'm loaded with sin. You know, we have so much sin, it's not even funny. And so we need to know, how do we get our sin forgiven? Of course this is relevant for us. And so here we have the Bible telling us that the Lord Jesus Christ is the person who has the authority to forgive our sin. The word that's used here is the word aphiemi in the Greek New Testament. And it means to cancel out, to dismiss, to remove. This is what God offers to do with our sin. And it's perfect tense here. You say, I didn't come for a grammar lesson. Well, this is important. In the Greek language, the perfect tense is not used very often in the New Testament. So when it's used, it's very important. And the perfect tense means something that is an established fact, the results of which go on into eternity. An accomplished fact, the results of which go on forever. And so when Jesus said to this man, your sins are forgiven, he used the perfect tense saying, your sins are forgiven now, and they are forgiven forevermore into eternity. Wow. This is why the Bible says, Psalm 103, that as far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed our sins from us. This is why Micah chapter 7 says that God has buried our sins in the depth of the sea. This is why the new covenant, Jeremiah 31, Hebrews chapter 8, the promise of the new covenant in Jesus, Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12, look at this, is their sins and their lawless deeds, I will remember no more. Look at that. Wow, how great is that? This is what Jesus is offering us. And folks, he's offering us into perpetuity, into eternity. Once he forgives sins, perfect tense, they're forgiven forever. You know, when the missionaries first went to the Eskimos, they had a problem because in the Eskimo language, there was no exact word for forgiveness. And so how do you translate the New Testament and the message of the gospel if you don't have a word for forgiveness? But they hit on a word that the Eskimos did have. It's Isuma-jiju-jung-na-i-ner-muk. Isuma-jiju-jung-na-i-ner-muk. And what it means is not being able to remember it anymore. Not being able to remember anymore. And this is the word they use to translate forgiveness. God says, I'm not able to remember your sin anymore. Isn't that beautiful? It's under the blood of Christ. And this is what God offers to do. He offers to Isuma Jiju Jung Na I Ner Muk our sin. Praise the Lord. How great is that? And if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, this is what God has done for you. Your sins and your lawless deeds, he remembers no more. They're under the blood of Christ. And if you're not a believer in the Lord Jesus, man, you want to get in on this before it's too late. Jesus is the only one with the authority to forgive sins, and he offers to do it if we will simply come and give our life to him. Listen to all these verses that I wrote down. Here we go. We're going to put them on the screen for you. In Luke chapter 7, Jesus says to the woman who washed his feet, your sins are forgiven. Colossians chapter 1, verse 14 says, in whom, that is Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Acts chapter 10, verse 43, to him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission, forgiveness of sins. Acts 13, 38, therefore let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man, Jesus, is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, in him, Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. And John writes in 1 John 2:12, I write to you, believers, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. Amazing. Wonderful. And this is why you get to go to heaven, because your sins have been forgiven. God doesn't remember them anymore in his justice because they're under the blood of Christ. I love a song I heard years ago about getting in the pearly gates. I don't remember the whole song, but I simply remember the chorus. When asked how, why should this person be let in as a sinner? The chorus goes, I come on the merits of Jesus, who for sinners bled and died. The pearly gates will open and they'll welcome me inside. I heard that song 50 years ago, when I first became a believer, never forgot that chorus. Beautiful. Now, you know, a few years ago in England, there was an advertising campaign that was run by Richard Dawkins and the British Atheist Society. And they put big billboards up, and they put big posters on the sides of buses, And here's what they said, the posters. They said, there's probably no God, period. Now stop worrying and enjoy your life. Folks, if there's no God, then there's no sin, because there's no God who is perfect for us to compare our behavior to. And if there's no sin, then there's no accountability for sin, and there's no justice and judgment against sin. And if there's none of that, well, then we can relax and we don't have anything to worry about. The problem is there is a God. Psalm 14:1, the fool is said in his heart, there is no God. Psalm 139, David writes and says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Just look at the human body. How can you say there's no God? I had this doctor years ago who was a Jewish doctor, great friend of mine, who took care of Jill. And one time I said to him, I said, I don't see how any doctor can be an atheist. And he said, what are you talking about? I said, hey, doc, how in the world could you study all the systems of the human body, the endocrine system, the digestive system, the reproductive system, the cardiovascular system, the nervous system, all of these systems, and actually think that there's no great creator God who made this, that it all happened by itself? And he said, you know, going through medical school, I never really thought about that. I said, well, doc, you need to, because the human body is one of the greatest testimonies to the fact that there is a God. Now, so are the stars. They declare the handiwork of God, Psalm 14 says. But just look at the body, the human body. This couldn't happen by accident, all of those systems. And friends, if there is a God, then there is sin. And if there is sin, then there's a holy God who's going to hold us accountable for our sin and judge us for our sin. And if that's the case, then we have a lot of reason to worry. You say, oh, great, Lon, I'm glad I tuned in today so you could depress me. No, 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 I'm not depressing you. I'm trying to tell you that we can solve this problem by coming to Christ and letting him effie me, our sins, remove them forever. Our sins forever. This is the beauty. This is the message of the Bible, my friends. And now, with our sins forgiven, with God not being able to think about them anymore, where God not remembering our lawless deeds or our sins anymore, with God burying them in the depths of the sea and removing them from us as far as the east is from the west, now we can relax and we can enjoy life. Jesus said, if I, the Son of Man, make you free, you shall be free indeed. Free of what? Well, most importantly, free of the penalty of sin. And Jesus said, if I make you free, you are free indeed. Yes, you are. And that being true, we can rejoice and enjoy life. You know, we were sitting around the other day with our small group. We were all 6 feet away from one another. Yeah, yeah. And we were chuckling or laughing at something. And I made the comment. I said, you know, isn't it wonderful that we can sit and laugh because we know that our sins are forgiven and that the judgment for them is not on us anymore. Christ took that. That's true. Friends, I know this is a rough time, and I know this is a challenging time in our lives. Financially, it's challenging. Interpersonally, it's challenging. Psychologically, it's challenging. In every way, it's challenging. And there are some days where it gets to all of us, and we get down. And we get discouraged. I mean, that's just the way it is. But I'd like to say to you, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, every single day of your life and my life, there is something to rejoice in. There is something to be happy about. And that is that God has forgiven, removed, canceled, remitted, no longer thinks about our sins and our lawless deeds. They are gone. Forever. And when we reach heaven, We come on the merits of Jesus, who for sinners bled and died. The pearly gates will open, and they'll welcome us inside. And as long as we have that on our side, there is always something to rejoice about. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, how grateful we are that the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, has the authority on earth to forgive sins. And Lord Jesus, we thank you that when you forgive sin, you forgive it fully and freely and forever. And that sin is gone in the depth of the sea. It is gone from your memory when it comes to being judged for our sin regarding heaven. And Lord Jesus, we are so grateful because we didn't deserve this, but you did it for us in the work of Jesus on the cross for us. He gave his blood, the Bible says. For what? For the forgiveness of sins. So Lord Jesus, lift our hearts. And no matter how many other problems we've got, encourage our spirits, Lord, that our sins and our lawless deeds are remembered no more. And we can rejoice and enjoy life because of this. We love you, Lord Jesus, and we thank you so much for your grace and your mercy. And we pray this in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Okay, I had a terrible week. My hot water heater has been a complete disaster. We've been without hot water off and on for a week. But you know what? I can still rejoice because the Lord Jesus Christ has forgiven my sins. And I hope no matter how, what kind of week you had, you can still rejoice because the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're a believer, has forgiven your sins. And I just want to tell you how much I appreciate you being with us. And Lord willing, in the creek don't rise, we'll see you next week as we continue in our study of the Gospels. What a wonderful thing to study the Word of God together. God bless you. Have a good week. Your sins are forgiven.